Hello, and welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dial Lanier. It's Wednesday, February 4th, and I'm your host, Dr. Lanier. We air the show every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can listen in live or you can listen at your convenience because all of the shows are archived. For more information on me and the services I offer, please go to my website, which is www.drdiallanier.com. And spelled out, that's www.drdiallanier.com. Now, we are doing our CAM series, which is our Complementary and Alternative Medicine series. And last week, we completed an overview of traditional Chinese medicine and discussed different types of body work, which included therapeutic massage, like Swedish and deep tissue massage, and sports and lymphatic massage. We also discussed movement re-education therapies like the Alexander technique and the Feldenkrais method, and we looked at Rolfing, which is a form of structural bodywork. Today, we're going to shift our focus to yoga, which I love, and we're going to look at it as a means to promote health and wellness overall. So yoga is among the oldest known practices in the world, and research in yoga has had a strong impact in the fields of stress reduction, in mind-body medicine, and in energy medicine. The physical postures, breathing exercises, and meditation practices of yoga have been proven to reduce stress, lower blood pressure, regulate heart rate, and things of that nature. So yoga is actually a subset of Ayurvedic medicine. And it's a system of psychophysical exercises that are designed to integrate the physical, the mental, and the spiritual aspects of health and well-being. It actually was first systematically set down in writing by Patanjali in something called the Yoga Sutras, and it was done as a means to restore mental and physical health. And today, yoga is practiced throughout the world, and it really holds a prominent place in the emerging field of mind-body medicine, but even in everyday life. So classical yoga is organized into eight limbs or areas that provide a complete system of physical, mental, and spiritual health, and it outlines specific lifestyle, hygiene, and detoxification regimens, as well as physical and psychological practices. So the first of the four limbs of yoga serve to bring the mind and body into harmony through specific postures and breathing exercises. Then the remaining four limbs of yoga deal with stages of meditation and advocate service to a greater good overall. So let's talk about yogic postures or asanas. The most widely known yogic practice is asana or hatha yoga, and that's spelled H-A-T-H-A. And it includes a variety of physical postures and exercises. And there are two main types of asana, meditative and therapeutic. Now, the meditative asanas improve the alignment of the spine and the head. It promotes proper blood flow through the body and really instills a state of relaxation and stillness that helps to facilitate concentration during the meditation part. It also keeps things like your glands, your lungs, and your heart properly energized. Now, the therapeutic asanas, like the spinal twist and the shoulder stand, are geared towards improving health overall. And they also do a good job of improving physical well-being, and they have been prescribed for patients with back, neck, and joint pain. So although when you're doing yoga postures, you may not be doing a lot of movement, your mind is involved in the performance of every asana or posture, and it provides discipline, awareness, and a relaxed openness. Now, if you've ever done or tried yoga, you realize that when you're in the postures or the poses, it does take a bit of discipline in order to stay in those poses, and you also need to be aware of your body. So, you know, you need to be aware of your breathing and focusing on that. You also need to be aware of your muscles, and if they're tense, if you have any tension in the muscles, you need to relax them and relax into the poses so that it's not just, you know, standing there. It really is a lot involved. So that's discipline and awareness, helping to maintain those postures. And then relaxation and openness help to stimulate the circulation of prana, which is life energy in Ayurvedic medicine. And that's in order to fully experience the power and the essence of the posture that you're doing. Now, according to the Yoga Sutras, properly executed asana is going to create balance between movement and stillness, exertion and surrender. I think that's very poetically put, but if you've ever done the pose, you realize that that is kind of true, and I think that balance corresponds with the state of a healthy body overall. So those are the asanas. There's also breath control, or pranayama, and that enhances the flow of energy throughout the body. Now, it's believed in Ayurvedic medicine, in the yoga practice, that the flow of prana is interrupted through stress, improper diet, or toxins. And so when that's the case, physical, emotional, and mental health are affected. And actually, it's very similar to traditional Chinese medicine and qi, which is considered the life force or life energy. And so it's believed that chronic blockage of the flow of prana can eventually lead to illness. And the pranayama exercises, or the breath control exercises, are designed to help prevent or remove these blockages. So the connection between breath and the mind is a basic principle of yoga. And if the mind is calm and focused, then the breathing will be steady and rhythmic. And if your mind is restless and agitated, your breathing is also going to be restless and agitated, or even worse, if you're really stressed, you may be holding your breath and not even realize it. So a fundamental instruction in yogic breathing practices is the elimination of any jerkiness of the breathing motion. So you want to maintain a smoothly flowing breath, both in and out, and that will correlate with subsequent smoothness in the flow of your thoughts. So if you are doing yoga breathing exercises, they can really be useful in order to calm the restlessness that may be going on in your mind. It also helps to create clarity, focus, and a heightened energy level. So the pranayama is often performed as a preparation for meditation. Now, meditation, all part of the yoga practice, is a state of focused concentration that may result in a heightened sense of peace and awareness. And it's really effective in reducing stress and tension, as well as a host of other health benefits that we actually talked about, some including having a positive effect on your immune function and strengthening your body's defenses against infectious disease, and a host of other benefits. So the potential benefit overall for yoga would be health, vitality, and peace of mind. And there actually have been studies to support data and demonstrate the effectiveness of yoga in treating things like hypertension, bone marrow depletion, heart arrhythmia, thyroid disorders, menstrual problems, and other physical ailments. There have been several studies in yoga that showed a significant reduction in both blood pressure and the need for drug therapy in adult patients suffering from high blood pressure. Also, looking at respiratory function or breathing function, that's been one of the most frequently measured variables in scientific evaluations of yoga, and studies have shown that yoga has a beneficial effect on the respiratory system overall, and results range from lowering the breathing rates and increased lung capacity, as well as a diminishment in asthma attacks. And in fact, there was one study, which was actually a very small study when you look at the number of people who were in it. It was done by P.K. Vandanthan. It was titled The Clinical Study of Yoga Techniques in University Students with Asthma, a Controlled Study in the Allergy and Asthma Proceedings. And they looked at adult asthmatics, 19 to 52 years of age, and they were divided into two groups. Half of them were taught yoga techniques, including the breath control, postures, yoga postures, and meditation. And the remaining patients served as control, so they didn't get any yoga instruction. The test subjects were taught yoga 3 times a week for 16 weeks, and all of the subjects or all of the participants maintained logs of their symptoms and medications used, and the researchers also took samples of morning and evening peak flow readings, and what that is the amount of air that they could breathe out. And if you have a low peak flow reading, that indicates airway obstruction. So the researchers found that the test group reported a significant degree of relaxation and positive attitude compared to the control group. They also tended to use inhalers less than the controls did. Now, when they looked at pulmonary function, there was not a significant difference between the two groups, but the yoga techniques did prove to prevent exacerbation of asthma attacks overall. And so I thought that was actually pretty interesting. And in fact, more and more physicians are prescribing hatha yoga classes and yoga therapy, and it's a growing field in American healthcare. And some insurance companies were covering the expenses. Now, I'm not sure if yours does, if you you know, have the luxury of insurance coverage, especially in this economic time. But just the fact that they were signaled an acceptance of the economic benefits of yoga and how that can have a benefit to the healthcare system overall. Okay, and just in case you're joining me just now, you're listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dio Lanier. I want to thank you so much for tuning in, and we are talking about complementary and alternative medicine in a series, and today we are discussing yoga. Now, how do you do yoga? How do you get into it if you've never done it before? Sometimes it can be really beneficial to go to a class, and that way you can see the different movements. You can, you know, try to match your body with it, and that's wonderful if you can get to a class. Sometimes they have on TV even, they have certain fitness channels or shows that you can watch and kind of do the yoga practice along with it. Or you can get a book and just practice the yoga on your own, the different yoga postures or asanas on your own. Right now, what I'll do is just describe a simple a program of simple yoga asanas that you can do at home. And while overall yoga can be really good in helping with particular health conditions, the safest, most reliable way to use hatha yoga therapeutically is to just follow a balanced program of postures in order to achieve an overall health-inducing effect. So nothing too dramatic, but just something to make you feel really good and focused and limber. And it really is best for the beginner to start with a simple program of basic postures. And I will describe a few of those to you. I'll do my best to describe what it looks like, and I'll also tell you about the benefits of each asana or posture. The first is called the corpse posture, and it's an excellent posture to start out with in a yoga program. It can also be used in between postures to help relax and prepare the mind for the next posture in the sequence, and also at the conclusion of your yoga program in order to help reduce fatigue. So what you do in the corpse pose is to lie on your back with your arms spread out about 12 to 18 inches from your side with your palms open and up. Your feet are spread about as wide as your shoulders, and you can place a folded blanket or towel right behind your head and neck. Close your eyes and relax and breathe slowly and deeply in and out, allowing your abdomen to expand with each breath. And just practice that exercise for about 5 to 10 minutes. And its benefits include aiding circulation and improving the function of your nervous system. It also helps relax your skeletal muscles, so that allows you to go into the different postures while reducing the likelihood of being, you know, of injuries while you're doing that. And it also reduces fatigue. The second posture is the child's posture or child's pose. And the way you do that is to sit in a kneeling position with the top of your feet on the floor and your buttocks resting on your heels, keeping the head, neck, and trunk straight. You want to relax your arms and rest the hands on the floor with your palms upward and your fingers pointing behind you. So exhale, slowly bend forward from the hips until the stomach and chest are resting on the thighs, and the forehead touches the floor in front of your knees. As your body is bending forward, you want to slide your hands back into a comfortable position. And in the child's posture, the body is completely relaxed and it's very compact. And so what that does is it relaxes the back and promotes healing of back injuries while taking pressure off the intervertebral disc, so the little discs that are in between each of your backbones or spine. And it also provides a mild and natural form of traction. That pose can also relieve pain in the lower back that may be caused from other postures, and it can be used as a bridge between various asanas if you happen to have lower back pain, and that's something to really be careful and mindful of. The third is the posterior stretch. To do that, you would sit with your head, neck, and trunk straight and your legs together, extended in front of your body, so straight out. Inhale and raise your arms over your head, straight up, and expand your chest. Exhaling with your back straight and your head between your arms, you'd bend forward as far as possible, placing the hands comfortably on your legs. And the key word there is comfortably. You don't want to try to overdo it, just whatever is comfortable for you. And keep in mind that the back of your knee should remain on the floor. You want to relax and breathe evenly and try to hold that for 5 to 10 seconds. What the benefits of that pose are, it stimulates the peristaltic movement or the wave-like contractions of the digestive tract, and it prevents constipation. It also stimulates the entire abdominal area, so your kidneys, your liver, your stomach, spleen, and pancreas. It relieves indigestion and poor appetite. It stretches the hamstring muscles in your thighs and the muscles and ligaments in your back, and it gently massages the intervertebral disc and develops flexibility in your spinal column. Okay, the next one is the cobra pose. To do that, you would lie on your stomach with your forehead resting on the floor. Legs and feet are together, and your body is fully extended and relaxed. Bend your elbows and keep them close to your body, and place your hands palm down beside the chest, aligning the fingertips with your chest. Inhale and slowly begin to raise your head, allowing your nose and then your chin to touch the floor as your head is stretched forward and upward. Without using the strength in your arms, you want to slowly raise the shoulders and chest, look up, and then bend back as far as possible. And you want to make sure you're breathing evenly and try to hold that for 5 seconds. Then you exhale, slowly lowering your body until your forehead rests on the floor, and then relax. Now, keep in mind that in this posture, the navel or your belly button is going to remain on the floor. Don't use your arms and your hands to push your body off the floor. Just use the muscles in your back and keep the feet and legs together and relaxed. Now, the cobra pose helps strengthen the muscles in your shoulders, neck, and back. It develops flexibility of the cervical vertebrae and corrects deviations in your spine. It improves circulation to the intervertebral disc. It expands your chest and develops elasticity in your lungs. And it also may help low back pain as well as constipation, stomach pains, and gas pains. Okay, the next is the locust asana or locust pose. You would lie on your stomach with your legs together and your arms extended along the sides of your body. Place your chin on the floor. Make fists with the hands, placing the thumbs and the forefingers on the floor. Keep the arms straight and then place the fists under the tops of your thighs. Then you want to inhale, raise both of your legs as high as possible behind you. Breathe evenly and then hold for 5 seconds. Then you want to exhale and slowly lower your legs and relax. And this exercise has two primary benefits. It strengthens the muscles of the lower back, and it also reduces low back pain tendencies. The next posture is the half spinal twist. This I will do my best to describe, but it may be easier to look at a picture. But what you will do is sit with your head, neck, and torso straight, and with your legs together and extended in front of your body. Bend your left leg and place the left foot on the floor at the outside of your right knee. So you're going to bring that leg across your body on the opposite side. Twist the body towards the left and place the left hand approximately 4 to 6 inches behind the left hip, fingers pointing away from the body. Bring the right arm over the outside of the left leg and then grasp. When bringing your arm over your leg, you might slightly bend forward if you need to, but don't arch your back and then twist your body. So you want to keep your back straight and turn to the left and twist from your lower spine and look over your shoulder. Don't use your arms to force your body into the twist. Only use them to keep you balanced. You want to breathe evenly and then hold for 5 seconds, and then make sure you repeat it on the opposite side. The benefits of the half spinal twist would be that it provides a twist to the spinal column, so that's stretching and lengthening the muscles and ligaments, and it keeps the spine elastic and healthy. Another thing that it does is it alternately compresses each half of the abdominal region. So that squeezes all of the internal organs and promotes better circulation through them. Lastly, it combats constipation, it reduces fat, and it also improves digestion. Okay, the shoulder stand. Lie on your back with your legs together, flat on the floor. You want to bend your elbows and place the hands as close to the shoulders as possible. And then with fingers pointing towards the small of your back and the elbows firmly on the floor, you want to raise both of your legs until they're perpendicular to the floor. So that means your legs are straight up in the air with your hands holding your back to keep you up. You can put your breastbone against your chin and keep the legs straight and relaxed. Breathe evenly and try to hold that for 20 to 30 seconds. And then as you get used to doing it, you can increase the amount of time that you hold that pose up to a minute. This pose actually has quite a few benefits. It strengthens your arms, your chest, your shoulders, and the back and abdominal muscles. It places a gentle traction on the cervical vertebrae, or those are the vertebrae in your neck bones, and it also keeps this important area healthy and flexible. Venous drainage from your leg, so the drainage in the veins from your leg occurs very quickly in this pose and completely, and so that's really a benefit if you happen to have varicose veins. Diaphragmatic breathing, or breathing from your diaphragm, is easily observed, so if you practice how to really get a good breath in, you can see it easy in this pose. It also rejuvenates your thyroid and parathyroid glands, making them function optimally. It reduces the occurrence of acute and chronic throat ailments and increases the blood supply to the important structures in your neck. And it's also called the queen of asanas. So that's definitely for organs, internal organ ailments, like indigestion, constipation, degeneration of endocrine glands, and problems occurring in the liver, gallbladder, kidneys, pancreas, spleen, and digestive system can all be helped with that pose. And last but not least is the half fish. That sounds pretty funny, but half fish. You would sit with your head, neck, and trunk straight, and your legs are together and extended in front of your body. You then lean back and place the elbows and forearms on the floor in line with the body and legs. Arch your back, expanding your chest, and stretch the neck backwards, placing the crown or the top part of your head on the floor. You want to increase the stretch by further arching your back and pulling your head as far as you can towards your back. Be sure to keep your mouth closed and maintain the stretch in the neck. You want to breathe evenly and hold for 15 to 20 seconds. And then gently lower your body back to a prone position or laying flat on your back, and then relax. And the half fish pose is great for stretching the cervical or neck vertebrae, and it's complementary to that of the shoulder stand. So while the shoulder stand, you're kind of hunched forward or flexed, the half fish allows you to extend and go back the other way. It also amplifies the effects of the shoulder stand and eliminates the slight stiffness in your neck and back that results from doing the shoulder stand alone. It also expands the chest and promotes deep inhalation and good ventilation at the tops of your lungs, and it increases your lung capacity. And then you can conclude with the corpse pose, again, laying flat on your back, as I described, and that ensures that you can completely relax and prevent fatigue. So I hope you got a good idea and could imagine doing those poses. And I think it's always a good idea for you to, you know, make sure that you're able to do them and go at your own pace. Sometimes things might be difficult if you have certain medical conditions or certain limitations in your flexibility. But I think that with yoga, you can gradually increase that, and it really, really can be good overall for you. And also, I want to do a quick mention of yoga benefits for children. Children can also reap the benefits from regular yoga practice. And no matter what form of yoga practice, they really can increase their well-being, reduce stress, because children have stress too, and purify their little bodies, physical bodies. And actually, you can, it can do, like, for instance, autism spectrum disorder and cerebral palsy have poor muscle tone. So if you're doing asanas or the posture or poses, those really can offer a general method of building strength in kids who need that and in children overall. And in addition, the yoga calms the mind, it eases tension, and it really can help teach children coping methods. So those skills are important for all children, and especially in children with special needs. Young children, now, one thing to keep in mind with doing yoga is that it really is a wonderful activity that you and your child can enjoy together, and it can be helpful for both of you. But young children's attention span for yoga is not the same as you would see with an adult. So there are actually many yoga products that have been created to get children to practice, video games, books, games, books are available to children. There is actually one, Babar's Yoga for Elephants, which is a pretty cute book to get children into yoga, young children. And also, it's important for children to know that yoga is a gentle practice. And so in order to avoid injuries, we really need to make sure they understand that. Children, they have natural gifts, they have agility and enthusiasm, and so sometimes those can work against them in yoga because they may, you know, not realize how bendy they are and might not recognize their limitations and can overstretch and can inadvertently injure themselves. So, sometimes kids can try to compete with their friends and impress the teacher and try advanced poses before they're ready. So children need to realize that it's not a competitive sport. Sometimes you could be prepared for giggles and silliness if you're doing yoga with children. Also, balancing poses are excellent for cultivating improved concentration and focus in children as well as in adults. And a main goal of yoga, which I thought was a really good point, is to, quote, do what you are doing, end of quote. I mean, I think that's really, if you really think about that phrase, do what you are doing, it's great. And what it points to is just focusing on yoga, your yoga asana, and how you are feeling only. So not thinking about, oh, I wonder if Jimmy wants to come out and play, not thinking about your grocery list and your things to do list, but just focusing on your yoga asana and how you feel. And it's really a great practice to rein in wandering thoughts in general for everyone, children and adults included. So I hope that was very helpful for you, information on yoga. I just want to remind you that the information presented on this program is for education and motivation purposes only. Please consult your personal physician or other healthcare professional before starting, changing, or discontinuing any treatment. I want to thank you again for joining me today. Please be sure to tune in next week when our topic will be continuing with the complementary and alternative medicine series, and we will be discussing Tai Chi and Qigong next week. So I look forward to speaking with you then next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, remember to be healthy and God bless. Have a good one.